All right, Token Smart Podcast, back with my buddies Trislet and Matthew, and to sort of talk about what's been going on. And there's so much stuff going on and coming up that I don't even know how we're going to be able to continue to cram all this stuff in. But between the whip last week and the kickoff of the Met Olympics, and we had we uncorked that Bitrees scavenger hunt, which I knew as soon as they were saying scavenger hunt, I was like, Dragonate's going to be all over this, and I'm pretty sure he came away with the grand prize for that. He's always all up in the scavenger hunt.
Every time.
Right. And then we had Who What Wearables do like a fashion bit, which is awesome. On Fridays, they're going to be doing that. And sort of.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I love that.
That was fun, right?
That was great. Yeah, it was.
It was cool. And that sort of like, you know, ties into all the things we're doing. But it also like makes me feel like I was like joking around, but also like sort of serious. I was like, dude, I haven't changed my jersey in like months, man. I'm now that like, you know, there's like fashionistas wandering around snapping pictures of it. I'm like, yo, I got to start stepping my wearable game up, or at least like mix it up every now and again so I can stay current and not get brushed over moving forward. But it's cool stuff, man. And in conversation with a few other people, including maybe one of us, going to be doing another thing going on in Discord. So awesome stuff, y'all. But happy to honestly get the first week of the Met Olympics under our belt and out of the way. And it seemed like everyone had a good time. And definitely some lessons learned and things that I feel like we could do better moving forward to just make the experience even cooler. But for the most part, it was nice to have a ton of people in there hopping around and goofing around and stuff. How's your guys' week?
Yeah, my week was great. You know, you're absolutely right about the Met Olympics. Like that, I feel like we level set right there. Everybody knows, you know, they've got an idea what to expect. It was hard before because it was sort of this nebulous, you know, no, it was hard to have details because we weren't sure how well things were going to work. But now people got a pretty good idea. So, like, future events, dude, are going to have to rock it, because that race, that obstacle course was amazing.
It was cool that, I mean, first of all, like, biggest attendance in the history of the whip last Thursday. So, shout out to that. But yeah, like, I walked away from the whip and Met Olympics event kickoff, like, physically drained. Like, it literally felt like I had gone through, like, a in real life, like, sporting event or something like that. We had everything in the program. The program was definitely way too jam packed. That's probably the biggest lessons learned. But that said, it feels like we hit as much as we could at a high enough level to kind of keep things like flowing through and keep most everyone pretty into everything that was going on. Obviously, we hit some technical issues at the Met Olympics, and it was cool that Ben was lurking in Discord and in CV, like seeing like the burden and the load that Met Olympics and the whip were putting on all the servers, and realizing again, like coming off the heels of Whip Asia, all the work that needs to be put into making CV super reliable and able to withstand not just the events that we're putting on now, but like thinking a couple months down the line, like where we will be with everything, to make sure that as this grows and scales, like CV, can they catch up and continue to scale at that quick pace? So it feel like those are really good lessons learned. Awesome that CV and Ben and team are paying more attention and like actually coming to the events, even though it's super early for them, for the Thursday whip in particular, to see how they can continue to make CV better and cope with all the demands and monkey wrenches that we throw at it with our crazy, weird, awesome ideas. But I mean, dude, I feel like it was weird. It was wonderful. It was a little bit too much. But like, those are the type of whips, and there's a lot of unexpected stuff, but those are the type of whips that people walk away like remembering and not forgetting. So I feel like it was awesome, all things considered.
Yeah, you know, thinking about the technical issues that we ran, because it was interesting with the boombox stuff at the beginning, because... Well, you know, classic Ben, when it was like he'd pushed in a massive update the day before, and he's like, and his little like caveat, you know, side note, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, this broke boom boxes. And it's like, that was it. And I'm like, what? You know, like, we rely on that functionality. Oh no. Yeah. So it threw a wrench real fast, but it wasn't because then trying to work out with you and trying to trying to talk to some of the other whip crew and figure it out. I mean, eventually we just decided to go through, since I was already streaming on the Twitch anyway, we basically put the Twitch up on the wall, and you know, it's like, well, here's a way for you to catch audio on World, click the Twitch stream. Which turned out amazing, because then once I had it up, then I saw it was happening. It's like, oh man, we've got a mirror of everybody here. Like, yeah, anybody really who wants, cool, can turn around and see yourself.
Those are genius.
Maybe we
work
need to do that every time.
Shout out to, I think that was Linera that had posted that or suggested that under Ben's like nonchalant, oh yeah, the boomboxes are done comment. So like, that's where I got the idea to kind of like pitch to you. And then, like you said, you had it all in hand anyway, so you just repurposed your setup in the actual event space. So I feel like that actually is sort of almost as good as the boombox. I just wish there was like an auto play feature, so people don't need to click on the Twitch stream to get that going.
Yeah,
which I still think is the case right now. But anyway, incremental improvements.
I feel like the autoplay thing should be a thing anyway, even if it wasn't for the whip. But you know, that's another thing, right?
Yeah. Dude, big shout out to Ben Nolan though, man. Especially from me, I feel like I owe him that, because I've talked a lot of shit on Ben and did genuinely appreciate him showing up and actually trying to do some like troubleshooting in real time. I actually wrote him like a little love letter on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's like sort of like, I'm sorry, Ben. I, you know, thank you, dude. So and I do mean it, even though I run my mouth, but. It is cool, man, to see him start showing up. And, you know, honestly, I feel like, you know, a lot of these platforms are sort of coming into their own. So, you know, we've had a few people sort of clamoring for our attention. And, you know, I was on this panel with Jin next week. It's like a pre-recorded panel for artproject.io. And Jin was like talking about some crazy shit that's going to be going on within like all of these worlds, and how they're like basically going to start like incorporating Discord chat, like amongst other like platforms, like rolled into them. So, you know, solving a ton of these problems that we've had to develop like all these janky workarounds for. And then Jin has like some other like insane project with like Discord bots going on that he's going to use to help onboard noobs basically into the scene and make it a little less frictionless with getting them set up with an ETH wallet and everything. So I think it's going to air. I'm not sure where in the lineup we are. It's like from November 11th to the 13th, they're going to be streaming these things, but he like got me really pumped to think where we're going to be at a few months down the line. And seems like he was targeting like end of the year type of thing, which I feel like in developer land is always like double as long or whatever.
Yeah,
no offense.
For sure.
Out there, but I'm like, yo, even double as long sounds awesome.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of cool solutions and ideas coming out. I've actually been talking to a Scott, the guy who he started a Portis wallet, and I guess they sold the Shapeshift, so now he's like a community relations guy with them, because we were talking about trying to get it working in crypto voxels, and I'm like,
and a speaker at Thursday's Whip.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know, like when you start talking to him, I'm like, okay, it's, even though, because everybody knows MetaMask, I mean, it's funny because I feel like all the OG people just use MetaMask, and it's like, you just use it because that's just what you've learned, that's what we all do. I'm like, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best solution. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But it's like, it's got so much market share that you can't, you know, trying to do anything else. But I mean, Portis seems kind of interesting. Like, but their idea is to obfuscate the front layer to have, you know, you got a name and password. And then that name and password connects to a wallet that they have protection on the side. So I'm like, so for a normal average user, you know, everybody's used to name and password sort of stuff. I'm like, okay, I see. If we make this work, yeah, I could see that making it easier for other people. How many solutions are we not really pushing because it's just, well, sorry, this is the way it is, right? We're all OGs, so we're all just used to it.
Dude, the thing that he is cranking out, and I'm not sure I got this like 100% correct. I can probably find a link for the listening party, but he was saying that basically this is going to be like a type of setup where you hop into this Discord channel and it like just sets you up automatically in the exact same type of way, right? So you're just basically navigating through Discord and it gets you all set up with a wallet, and you can, and there's actually like a mechanism where you can trade NFTs like through Discord, similarly to how the tip bots are working now. So it's like, this is sort of like a tip bot on steroids type of thing going on. But I mean, I guess if anyone was going to be like the bot, the biggest friend of the bots, it seems, at least in our space, it seems like it would be Jin. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, that's what the whip does. I feel it gives everybody a chance to talk to people and stuff. Because it's crazy the amount of weird side projects that seem funky. You know, like why would I need that and stuff? But it's like this is a whole community that we all understand why this is important. So having a group like this to get in front of and pitch your ideas is gold.
Yeah, man. Mark Rendar actually had this like great concept, and we're like in talks of him potentially doing a thing in Discord as well, where, you know, I guess a lot of what he does on a regular basis is essentially onboard existing, you know, urban artists is their niche, but onboarding existing artists into crypto and, you know, just doing a lot of hand holding and explaining that to them. And one of the things he wants to do is essentially like do that live in front of our audience, so that they can see that we're real people and not like some weird like art algorithm or something, but also source like, you know, information from people who have been there not too long ago. And, you know, I think it also like sort of just going back to what you were just saying, Trislet, like, you know, we're all sort of like OGs in this space and like sort of make a lot of assumptions and just do a lot of things that are very ordinary to us now. And I know for me personally, it's like very easy to get sort of like lost in that when you're trying to explain things to other people and you just sort of assume people have this like basic level of knowledge before you realize you got to go all the way back to like, oh, you don't even really know like what blockchain is or like how blockchain works or anything like that. So I feel like that is going to be valuable for both sides if this comes to fruition of like, you know, us being able to remember what it's like being a noob and also like onboarding more people, because he's got a lot of cool artists, man. I should send you guys some of the links that he was sending me of people who like, our space would be all over. Like, I just think back to like the Chio drop or whatever. And I'm like, you know, it was so awesome and different from like a lot of the other art that's going on in this space right now. So more of that seems to be like valuable moving forward rather than trying to like, you know, one up everyone isn't the right word, but just getting too like deep into our rabbit hole to where we lose sight of like how to bring other people along with us.
Yeah, good point.
I can't tell if you're talking or not, just because it sort of drags out.
I agree with Rizzle totally on that. It's hard for me to step back sometimes and be like, oh, wait a minute. I started way too complex, you know, and it's like, and I didn't need to. I don't mean to come across like presumptuous, you know, or like arrogant, because I'm trying not to half the time, you know, but sometimes you're trying to explain something. It's really complex, even for people who know it.
No, totally. Right? I mean, everything is trending towards a more a simplified solution and approach. And I think like we always have to kind of remind ourselves to step back and see like what are we overly complicating? What can we introduce to streamline things? And I mean, this is sort of like tangential and not exactly the point of what you're talking about, but bringing in new blood into what we're doing, I think helps. So I think like that's kind of a perfect segue for announcing that Katie Arrington's joining the Whip crew to support specifically the Whip Asia.
Yeah,
seriously, big yay.
That's and she had a big announcement. She's like, "Sup,
bitches?" Sweet when we announce that. Yeah, super badass.
Yeah.
But her like one of the briefs that she has, and like this is sort of what she wanted to spearhead when we were like designing the position, was that she wants to serve as like a bridge to bring in people that are new to the space that may be overwhelmed with everything. She wants to kind of ask questions that they may want to ask, so that it what we're doing with the Whip generally, broadly, not with the technical layer even, is more understandable. But I feel like that approach mirrors or has like a mirror counterpart on the technical side, so that we get better and better tools and slicker tech that just make everything smoother.
Yeah, not to beat this into the ground, but I think it's easy to lose track of how valuable that is. And it's been a few weeks in a row now where I've seen people pop into the Whip or at one of our listening parties, and they literally have no idea what's going on. They're like, what is going on here? And what are these people talking about? And we're just going to get more of that, right? As this space continues to grow. And, you know, we we're goofing around and, you know, for our typical audience, having like a, you know, pretty normal conversation. But to a noob, this is probably like a pretty high level conversation about like, you know, crypto stuff that is a little bit daunting until they figure out like what the hell actually is going on here and what's the point of everything that we're doing and all that. Matt and I recorded an episode with Terra Virtua last week. I think it's going to be dropping on Wednesday this week. And they're doing a lot of like really interesting stuff that draws on a lot of like mainstream eyeballs or whatever. I mean, they're like deep into IP and acquiring and utilizing IP within the NFTs that they're creating. And they got like, big names. I think didn't they say like the Godfather Twitter handle like now points directly towards Terra Virtua projects and a few other like
what?
Yeah, they have these big deals with like Legendary and all these big movie studios. It's pretty massive.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because we've talked about what the original point of blockchain was. You know, with like they're trying to separate and make things, you know, provide ownership and stuff. But as we move, you start to see some people like they group with large IPs, you know, big corporate interests and stuff. I'm like, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's like I have some arguments with some people sometimes about, you know, that's sort of getting away from the spirit of the project, you know, because like Flow is another interesting one where they're starting to get some ridiculously big name IP brands behind them. You know, it's like, oh no, they have to, you know, they can't, all the big brands, like some people don't like some of that because they think it's getting away from the spirit of what crypto was originally for. But I'm like, I don't think so. I think it's a different side of the same coin. You know, they're going to really make it easier for the people who aren't big brands to make themselves a big brand, I think. So, I mean, hearing that Terra Virtua is doing that, awesome.
No, I mean, it was only a matter of time, right, before like the corporate overlords showed up and wanted a piece of the pie. And, you know, you can only make so much attention before like the big brands start infiltrating and everything. And I don't know, man, I think about that often, right? It's like you wonder, like, we all assume that the rocket ship is taking off and, you know, this is the future of a lot of things moving forward in the tech space. And you wonder how the space is going to look once all the corporate overlords do sort of show up and, you know, try and dominate the market. And how does that affect us? Do we get like rolled into that? Are we just sort of like some dominant like grassroots off brand or our brand? Or it's just going to be interesting because you do hear about, you know, big IPs getting in the game, the NBA, obviously Dr. Seuss and all these people. And I don't know, man. I just feel like you're sort of starting to see like the boulder rolling down the mountain that's going to start turning into an avalanche and everyone's going to get in the game soon. And then the structure is going to get really interesting, whether we can sort of protect the spirit of like the whole space in terms of like the decentralization or like, you know, again, not.
I had a tweet on this.
Go ahead, man. Yeah.
No, I think that we've been talking about this theme and these developments for the past, I don't know how many episodes. I mean, I feel like the whip is sort of indicative of this whole thing, like constantly changing, adapting, growing, expanding, scaling. Because I mean, taking that old saying that a lot of people in crypto, especially NFT land, keep referencing, like rising tide lifts all boats. Like, well, what happens when that tide keeps rising? Like, I feel like eventually those boats will find themselves in an ocean. Yeah. And since oceans are super rough, like the boats themselves need to get a little more robust. They need to get bigger, faster, stronger if they want to like stay in those choppy waters. Because what's happening in those waters, like these big ass boats, these big ass freighters and whatnot, like from these established huge like movie studios and whatnot, crazy valuable IT or IP are coming in, and it's making things really frothy, and projects need to keep growing in order to keep up with that, or they need to go find like their own like niches somewhere else, like in calmer waters. But I feel like it's getting super, super real right now, and projects that want to be in it for the long run, they need to mount up for the battles that they're going to face just with the elements and the other entrance to the space.
Jesus, dude, I need to source my metaphors from you. I was like, spending, that was a great one, by the way. I spent a long time yesterday removing this fence in my yard and planting trees in its place. And I'm like, this should be a great metaphor for something, but I'm just like creatively blank. And I should have just sent it over to you to like come up with some great thing like that. No, that was beautiful, man. And that basically sums up exactly what I'm getting at, is that like, yeah, man, shit's about to like pop off. And that means a lot of people are going to get left in the dust who, yeah, don't mount up. And the rest, I don't know what happens, man. Is the space like really decentralized enough for everyone to sort of carve out their own niche, or does everyone just sort of get absorbed by Disney? You know, all the OGs just, you know, get rolled into some giant conglomerate. And you know, I'd like to think no, but you know, there's a reason why Disney is Disney, is because they see like up and coming projects and throw an offer they can't refuse in their lap, and then all of a sudden you're part of Disney. So you know, I'd like to think that won't happen to the bulk of this space and everything, but at the same time, like, I feel like everybody, you know, just about everybody's got a price. And if someone wants to come in and snatch all the things up, the space is also very, very green for that right now.
That's a great point. You know, it's interesting because whenever I think about it, like, I love where we're at and with community, how close we are to the developers. I've talked about that before, you know, just the whole crypto community. Like, yeah, having Ben show up to a whip and then come back, be like, oh yeah, I see exactly what you guys are talking about. You're right. This is wrong. And then he pushes out and fix to try to help us. Like, imagine in Facebook, you got a problem with Marketplace, right? And you're like, Mark, get the hell in here and fix this for us. And Zuckerberg jumps in. He's like, oh yeah, I see the problem. And he fixes it for it. It doesn't happen, right? Because it's too big. It's like, that's little stuff. But I feel like you can make a huge impact coming in as a new player in the community still. And that's what's helping it stay cool and interesting for me.
No, totally. I mean, again, like rewinding back to the beginning of Facebook, like that's what happened, right? If like there were early users, yeah, and people would reach out, and there's a high probability that Mark I'm sure he wouldn't interface with anyone. He's pretty antisocial, or at least he used to be, I guess, based on social network or whatever. But like they were really, really, every user was really close in terms of like degrees of separation from the people creating the product. And it's sort of magical that we're at this place and time right now with the projects that are emerging and will probably continue to grow and be big players in the space over time. But sort of going back to Rizzle's kind of open question, I feel like we're going to see a huge mix of events unfold over the next a few months and years, right? We're going to see some projects get acquired, I'm sure, into some big corporate entities that just align and their vision. I mean, I feel like what happened with Nifty Gateway, with Gemini scooping them up super early for some other reasons, is sort of indicative of what could happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Coinbase gets into the NFT space with an acquisition or two heading for some big projects, right? Like who knows what's possible there? Something like an OpenSea getting acquired by Coinbase outright. Because these bigger projects in this space, let alone like outside the space, are all looking to continue growing, just as we are looking to continue to grow. So there's all these different levers and strategies that they can employ to accomplish that. But in the process, like as these whales are fighting it out on their own, like there's a saying in Korean that when whales fight, the shrimp get hurt or die or whatever. So like there's a lot of other people in the space that will definitely need to figure out how not to get hurt as these bigger players and whales start making their moves.
It does seem like even within the space, people are sort of like naturally migrating to like joining forces with one another, right? Right. And I feel like this space has always been like super open to like collaborations and encouraging of collaborations. And now I feel like you're starting to see like, you know, we're probably a good example of it ourselves, like communities starting to like band together more officially and, you know, work together more formally. And, you know, we're sort of beyond like, let's do this piece of artwork together. Now it's like, let's build this, you know, this larger thing together that, you know, has some legs for longevity. I have so much love for this space, man. You'd like no one to get left in the dust, and like everyone to be able to, work it out, who's been along with us this whole way, but it just seems impossible. Right. I mean, if it's almost impossible now for everyone who wants to get in to like, just show up and sell some art. You basically need to either have your own audience or like be able to tap into some sort of community or have some way of getting yourself like discovered. Whereas, even not even too long ago, within the year or whatever, people who weren't even artists or were brand new to the scene would be able to drop something and get some sort of visibility, or even with some of like the games and the smaller blockchain games and everything, it just wasn't tough to get your product out in front of people. And now there are like massive projects going on that I don't really even know like a whole lot about. Like, I mean, up until a week and a half ago, I didn't know what Terra Virtua was until Russ like put them on my map. And I interviewed them. I'm like, holy shit, dude, this is like a massive, massive project with like potentially historical implications for the space that it was just like, I'd like to think I don't have blinders on, but it's just impossible to keep track of all the things.
No, totally. And I mean, first of all, like visibility is getting increasingly more difficult. There's a lot of good shit happening, and it's like just to echo you with Terra Virtua, like it's crazy that I hadn't heard more about that project for all the crazy things that they've been working on their end until like the past couple of weeks. And like if it's hard for them to get visibility, like it won't be hard heading for it as soon as more people hear, like actually realize what's going on. But if they had issues getting visibility, like what about the individual content creators, the individual artists, individually independent games that are just trying to come online right now? Like they need to bring it. And that's sort of like what I was talking about before. Like people need to level up with what they bring. I feel like there's always going to be room for newness, but the way that you get attention early on, it's just going to become exponentially more difficult for people. Just because people will have higher and higher expectations for what they look for, what they spend their money and time on, right? But then there's like all these openings then for folks that are curating some of the lesser known projects and having their eye out for what may not be super appealing today, but has a lot of promise tomorrow. And like, that's a whole nother niche of actors in this space that we're just starting to see like a glimpse of with folks like Power Surge, Stella Bell, DCL Blogger, Crypto Yuna, and a few other folks that are kind of like stepping into that, that curatorial role and helping people uncover hidden gems and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, dude. Speaking of curatorial, what do we got on tap for the whip this week?
So compared to last week, we're keeping it low key this week, like whatever low key means for the whip. We have Jorge coming in from Aragon Project. Really excited to see what they're cooking up over there. We have Scott, we kind of dropped earlier, from Shapeshift /Portis. We'll be talking about what's going on over there. Stella Bell will be stopping through talking about her latest projects and her daily updates. Our boy Hugo from Cryptograph is also stopping by talking about that. And then I believe we're going to be located, or the location sponsor is Play to Earn. So looking forward to incorporating that into this Thursday show.
Nice, man. Don't forget to take your selfies in the broadcast booth with Play to Earn. Follow the Metalympics handle for that. That was awesome, man. I saw a bunch of them pop up. To anyone who's listening too, we need to pay out some people who won and everything, and we're on top of that. And so if you haven't received your prize and did actually complete the obstacle course, we will hook you up. And then this week we got the Blockstacks race, AKA Stacks. Now they did a rebranding, and I think I got the situation figured out. And Jim has actually been pitching this idea from the very beginning to do a slow race. And my biggest concern was how to properly judge it without it becoming, a total mess, similar to my concerns about the obstacle course, which worked out good enough. But what I think I'm going to do is have like a series of guest books, like around the race, that people have to sign, you know, get from one to the other, and sort of the guest books will keep track of the time of the race for us. And then we'll just require people to hold down W, and it might actually be hilarious to see, like, you know, 60 to 100 very, very slow moving avatars wandering around the track. Anyway, still trying to figure out the details of how exactly the race is going to work, but it should be fun. And then one of the things that I feel like was a missed opportunity from the obstacle course was we have these podiums in the campus, and I would really like to have like the live results of the race and do like a photo op of the winners on the podium, you know, directly afterwards, as we should be doing. So I think there's like a lot of things like that that will sort of like, you know, become obvious, you know, value adds as we continue to do more of these things. But definitely looking forward to seeing how this race unfolds. And I gotta hit Shannon up over there at Blockstack. She rocks, actually. And another Russ connection, man. Dude's been hooking it up lately, bringing awesome projects on board for the Whip and Metalympics and stuff.
Russ Franke, for everyone that's not following him, definitely someone you should be following on Twitter. Man.
Cool, y'all. Anything else?
Am I coming in now?
Trisla crawled out from under the cabin for a second.
I'm still coming in bad, huh? Bad now.
It's all good, dude. 85% of the first.
I keep trying to come back in, and it doesn't work.
Go get another drink, Trisla. We'll hit you up next time, man. It's all good. All right, y'all. Good for this week. Shout out to the listening party. Easy and Crypto, as always, holding it down. And stay tuned for all the stuff coming up.
Sounds good. Later, boys.
Cool. Later, y'all.